I hope you're feeling alive as we come together to worship as the little C. That's who Christ made us to be. He made us to be alive, not dead. And so today we get to celebrate the new life we have in Christ. We're going to do that in a unique way through observing the Lord's Supper in just a few moments. But before we do, we're going to dig into some scripture to kind of remind us what we are doing in this moment. As we come together, this is a special time for the little C. It is a God-ordained moment. God has ordained this. It isn't a Baptist thing. It's not a religious thing. It's a God-ordained moment for us to come together and to worship Him. And as we do this, we do it by doing a couple of things. Number one, reflecting on where we've been and who we are, but more importantly, remembering back to the cross that changed everything, changed who we are and who we will be. And so we're going to remember His death. But not just His death, anybody can die. As a matter of fact, we all will die. The Bible says it's appointed unto every man a day to die. But Jesus not only died, He rose again from the dead, and that changed everything. That changed all of human history, it changed my story, and it changed your story. And that's what we're going to remember today, how His death makes us alive. Over the next few weeks, maybe months, we'll see how long it takes, we're going to go through the book of Ephesians. If you have your Bibles, start turning to Ephesians chapter 1. This letter, we say, was written by the Apostle Paul, but always all of Scripture was written by who? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit used a vessel named Paul to write a letter to the little C's in the region of what we basically know as modern-day Turkey. It's known as the letter to the Ephesians, but it was a letter that wasn't just to that little C, it was to be circulated throughout the whole region to the other little C's, teaching them who they were in Christ, the big C, and how they were to live as little C's, congregations of the big C. Some have called this the Grand Canyon Epistle, because it is so majestic, it is so vast, it is so grand, it is so deep. There is so much to be gleaned from this book of the Bible. As we look through it, we're going to study it verse by verse, but probably more word by word. Let's jump in. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God to the saints. Stop right there. That's as far as we're going. You say, whoa, what do you mean we're stopping right there? There's so much more to be read. That's enough for today. That's where we're going to stop. Look at it again. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to who? To who? The saints. He wasn't writing to the people who lived in Ephesus. He wasn't just writing to the little C in Ephesus. He was actually writing to a letter that would go to all the little C's, but he was writing specifically to the saints. I want you to look at that word with me today, saints. Matter of fact, I'm gonna take two words, ain'ts and saints. And you fall into one of those camps. You either fall into the ain'ts camp or you can fall into the saints camp. And what do I mean by all that? Let's dig into it, what it means, because we fall into some really bad theology. Matter of fact, you've probably said this, maybe you say it often, and it just drives me up the wall. You ever said this? Well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. You ever said that? Sounds real spiritual, doesn't it? Actually, it's less than spiritual. Now, it's partially true. You say, well, what's wrong with that phrase? We're all sinners. We've all sinned and fallen short of glory of God. True. We all were saved by grace. True. We all needed grace. True. But that statement is only true when you're speaking of who you used to be, not who you are. Notice, Paul didn't write, I, Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ, write to you the sinners in Ephesus saved by grace. He said, I write to you the saints. Why that phraseology? Why is that so important? Because if you listen to partial theology or incorrect theology, you live the wrong life. A life in Christ or a life that's just willing to be a sinner saved by grace. When we listen to that and when we keep referring to who we were, we keep acting like we used to. But God has called you out not to be just a sinner saved by grace. Yes, we were all sinners. Yes, we needed God's grace. But he has called you to be different, to be known as a saint. Now, the problem for us in our culture is we've changed what that means to be a saint. And so we get all messed up and we make it easier to fall into the trap of saying, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. That's how Satan wants us to see ourselves. But God wanted us to know he saved us to live a different story. We're going to dig into all that means, not where we used to be, but where God has called us to be. Yes, we are saved by grace, but once we are saved, you become a saint. A saint ain't a sinner no more. You say, well, okay, now I'm confused because I do sin. I struggle with sin. Okay, I get that. We all struggle with it. But that's not my identity. I have a new identity in Christ. I am a saint, and God wanted you to know that, or he wouldn't have put it in the Word. So let's dig in on what this means. We are, according to Scripture, when we were in our sin and we were sinners, falling short of God's glory, we needed to be saved. The Bible says that God reconciled you back to himself. This holy God came to unholy man and reconciled us back to himself through Christ. That's what God did for you and for me. He took us out of our sin. He placed us in Christ, and now we become one with the holy God. That's what God did for us. What we couldn't do, God did. Now, that word new, when it's written there that we are a new creation in Christ, it means of a totally, completely new and different quality. He takes what we were and he transforms us into something new, of a higher state, a higher quality. We go from being a sinner, now he calls us a saint. Well, what does that word saint mean? Well, again, we get messed up in that when we hear that word saint, because we think that means a superhero or somebody who's perfect. Wrong. That's not what that word means. It doesn't mean perfect. There's not a perfect person in this room. But there are saints in this room who have a perfect God living in them, who is perfecting them. That means he's transforming us into his image. We once were sinners who needed grace. We're now saints that are being sanctified by that grace. We are a new creation, and that's who we are. Quit living over where you used to live and live in what you are in Christ Jesus. That's why Paul said, I'm not writing to sinners saved by grace. I'm writing to the saints. Again, saints don't mean that we're perfect. It means God is perfecting us. What a saint does mean, that word saint that we translate here, means to be holy or different. It means that what we used to hunger for, we now hunger for something else. Now, we still struggle, and there will be times our flesh still hungers for who we used to be. But we have, as a new creation, we now have a Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, living in us. And we now have a new appetite, a new hunger, a new person. That's what it means to be a new creation, to be a saint, to desire the things of God and to be conformed into his image, to be different from who we were. Satan wants you to just keep being who you were, but just saved by grace. He wants you to keep seeing when you look in the mirror, oh, yeah, you're still messed up, you're still flawed, you're still a sinner saved by grace. When you fall for that theology, you will fall back to your old ways regularly until you understand, no, I'm a new creature and I'm a saint. How many of you woke up this morning, went to the mirror, and said, oh, look at that saint right there, huh? Anybody go there? Isn't it amazing how we can so quickly allow the enemy to speak into our ear who we are, rather than letting God's word speak into our hearts who we are? Now, I'm not saying get a big head about it. I'm not saying going around and print a business card, Bill Hulse, the saint of Oklahoma City. What I am saying is understand you are different. You are a new person in Christ, and God is doing a work in you. That word we translate saint in the Greek is a word called hagios, if I'm saying that right. It had a fundamental meaning. Whenever you use that in that day in the Greek, it meant that it was something way more different, way more spectacular than other things. This word saint. You could go through a town and you could see a bunch of ordinary buildings that had just been thrown up, little shanties or shacks throughout the town, and all of a sudden you come to this majestic building. It might be a civic building. It might be a place of worship. It was clearly different than all the other buildings in town, and they used that word. That is a saintly building. It wasn't a holy space. It wasn't something perfect, but it was something different. And that's the word that the Apostle Paul used under inspiration of the Holy Spirit to understand who you are. If you know Christ, if you've been saved, yes, you once were a sinner. Yes, you needed His grace. But God is transforming you into something completely different, something majestic, His holy image. And so let me just show you, just so you understand how important it is that you know what God is doing in your life. Every letter the Apostle Paul wrote, take a look at it, to the little C's. Remember, the little C is a congregation of those who are part of the big C. Those who know Christ, who once were sinners, saved by grace, now they are saints. Go to Romans chapter 1 and verse 7. Romans chapter 1, verse 7. Paul would write a letter to the believers who lived in Rome, the little C. And in verse 7, he says, to all who are beloved of God in Rome. Again, he didn't write a letter to Roman citizens. He wrote it to those who were the beloved of God, those who'd experienced the love of God and been changed. I write to all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as what? Saints. It's on the screen highlighted to help you this morning in case you aren't seeing it, all right? He's writing to who? The saints. Not just the saints at Ephesus. It wasn't that there were people in Ephesus that were more spiritual than those in other places of the world. He was writing to the big C, congregated as a little C at Ephesus, and now here at Rome. And the same greeting comes to those in Rome. Not because they were on the same spiritual level as those in Ephesus, but because they were in the same condition. They were in Christ. And in Christ, they were now known as the saints. Turn over to another letter he wrote to those who lived in Corinth, a completely different city. And oh, by the way, a very immature church, a very baby church that was full of sin. That's all they knew. Corinth was probably the most wicked city in that region of the world at that time. Anything and everything was go in Corinth. They find the gospel, they find Christ, but they still struggle because all they knew was how they used to live. And so we find some of the most immature baby believers in Corinth. Certainly not as spiritual as probably some that were there in Ephesus, those that had been trained up under the ministry of Paul and Apollos. And he writes them a letter. Now, I would expect Paul to write this to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who've been sanctified in Christ Jesus, sinners saved by grace. But that's not what it says, is it? To the saints by their calling. You see, God called us out of who we were, sinners. Maybe you're here today and maybe you're still in that camp. I was for 9 months as I went to church in Enid. I thought I was okay with God. I thought God was okay with me because I was doing better. Matter of fact, I was convicted about my sin. I felt really bad about my sin and I was doing something about it. I started going to church just like you did today. Because surely that's going to get me some brownie points with God, right? Surely that helps me if my good outweighs my bad. You with me? But I was still a sinner in need of God's grace. You might be here today and you need that grace. God will give that to you as a gift if you'll receive it. But if you have received it, it doesn't matter if you lived in Enid growing up. It doesn't matter if you grew up in church, if you grew up in Corinth or Ephesus or Rome. If you are in Christ, you are a... Now say it with me. I know it doesn't seem right, but you are what? Saint. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a saint. Go ahead. It feels good. Say it. And say it with conviction. I'm a saint, all right? Now, don't tell that to your waiter or waitress at lunch today. They ain't going to get it. But it works right here. You need to declare and know who you are. Paul wrote to the saints, those who were being perfected by God, those who were different. In case you don't believe me, go to Philippians. He wrote another letter, Philippians chapter 1. I know it's predictable, but look for your own eyes. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus. Colossians chapter 1, verse 2. You're right there in that region. Just keep on going. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians 1, verses 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints. Every single letter. He reminds them who they are. You know why he had to put that word in there? Because most of them were not believing it just like you and me. Most of them were struggling with that concept. They didn't live like saints. They weren't being saintly, and therefore they drew a conclusion, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. They had forgotten that God had called them out of that into his kingdom to be his children, to be children of the king. The king's kids ain't no sinners saved by grace. The kids' kings are saints. You probably know the song. Oh, when the sinners saved by grace come marching in. You know the song? Probably didn't know that was a song. I was singing. Oh, when the saints come marching in. The called out. The changed, not the perfect, but the children of the perfect, the children of a holy God. That's who you are. And that's only possible because of what Jesus did. And when we take these elements in a moment, we're going to remember how God transferred us from that camp to this camp. From the old life that we had to the new life that we have in Christ. And so as we remember, as we do what God called us to do often, because if we don't do this, we forget. We forget where we came from. We forget who we are. Jesus said, as often as you do this, remember me. And as we do this today, I want you to remember him in a very unique way. I want to tie the two together. Go to Romans chapter 8. We're going to close here. Romans chapter 8. You say, you mean we're going to get out before 1:30 today? Yes, we are. Don't be shocked. Romans 8. Take a look at verse 26. If you're there, say, uh-huh. Okay? If you're still looking, say, ouch. Oh, okay. Come on, hurry. Catch up. Got it? Here we go. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. So right there, Paul, who's writing to these big C's, he admits we have weakness. Being a saint doesn't mean you're perfect. It doesn't mean you're a superhero. It means you're a real person with a real need for a holy God to do a holy work in your life. But we are letting him do that. We no longer live for the unholy. We live for the Holy One. And he says, while we have weaknesses and we do not know how to pray as we should, the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Verse 27. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he, watch this, underline it, he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. He intercedes for the saints. Before you ever made it to this local C called PCBC, before you ever showed up for worship today, the King of Kings, the one who saved you by grace, has been sitting on his throne, and the Bible says he's been praying for you and for me. Did you know that? Does that not blow you away? Matter of fact, when you leave this place, he's still praying for you. When you wake up tomorrow, when you guys are hanging out at school, when you live through this week and make it to the weekend, guess what? He is praying for you. He is praying for you. He is praying for you. It's not a one-time prayer. God bless my kids. He's praying for you by name, by circumstance, by spiritual attack. He is praying for you moment by moment by moment, because that is the will of the Father. And He's praying over us right now as we get ready to remember Him.